Breakfast with Aaron and Helen, 5 to 9 weekdays on Hope 103.2.
Aaron, I got my motor running.
Good stuff.
I got out on the highway.
Yeah.
I was looking for adventure in whatever came my way, particularly in Homeless Persons Week in Parramatta. It's underway now. Launched yesterday with a blanket run. Hundreds of guys and girls from both Bikers Australia and Brotherhood Christian Motorcycle Club got together to collect blankets and do a big convoy ride to launch the start of the event. And I asked around a bit about why they were part of this blanket run.
It's just another situation where people need help and us bikers are prepared to do it. Stick your head out the window and have a look at a bike that's doing some good.
And what bike in particular would we need to be looking for to see you on it?
He's right.
Okay,
on the back,
I'm actually on the back filming.
Okay.
Yeah, so let's not go there.
Okay, moving along.
There's plenty of bikes here to choose from.
All right. How about you? Why are you involved in this today?
You do unto others and all that sort of thing. I mean, I'm a bit of a scumbag normally, so it's nice to give something back.
Who's been asking for the rain to stop for today?
That'd be the Brotherhood.
Yeah.
Right.
We got someone pretty high on our side.
Animal, why are you involved with the blanket run today?
Help the homeless.
Good stuff. Why is that important?
Well, I used to be homeless.
Is that right?
Yes. After I got out of jail, I was homeless.
And then it was time to get going, and I was introduced to the man who was letting me tag along on the back of his bike. Wayne, you've been kind enough to offer me a lift today. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Free of charge, by the way. We don't charge.
This just keeps getting better and better. Can you give me any tips? What do I need to remember when I'm on the back?
Sit back and enjoy the scenery. You're riding in luxury with a BMW. I'm not saying BMW is the best bike out, but this one's, you know, it's comfortable. It's lovely. I've been riding all over Australia, around Tasmania, so I'm camping with it. I just enjoy riding. I don't care what anybody rides. Once we go out there, and we're doing things like this for the charities, for the homeless people and everything else, and that's what I enjoy doing.
Good stuff.
I raise money for prostate cancer and also breast cancer. So have fun doing it.
All right, I'm on. We're setting off.
You know it.
Someone did just ask if I'd been praying this morning. I don't know if that's a good sign.
Thanks, mate. That's excellent.
And what's your name?
Andrew,
and you listen to Hope.
Every day.
Good stuff.
I love it. I love Christian music. It's rock.
And we were off. I was on the back of Wayne's bike. Look, we did have a little bit of an incident on the way there. We're fanging down the M4 in the convoy with hundreds of riders. And suddenly Wayne's hand shoots back to the little hip buckle on his belt, just as his phone slips out, bounces off my shoe, and ends up on the M4 and gets run over by a couple of hundred bikes and a few semi-trailers. Wow. And so we had to pull over, and he could be the bravest man ever. He ran back up the road, crossed out onto the M4 to pick up his mobile phone so he didn't lose his SIM card with all his contacts, came back, and we had to catch up with the convoy and get back in there. But by the time we arrived, even Wayne was impressed with the turnout.
Well, considering what happened, me losing the mobile phone, I think we made it with everybody else. And look at the turn up here. Look how many bikes are coming in. Look how many people are around here. I reckon it's great. What do you think?
I think it looks pretty good to me. Thanks heaps for the ride.
My pleasure.
It was a lot of fun. Dignitaries there to launch it. There was a church service out in the mall. It went really well. Huge turnout. Fantastic event. And I had a chat with Grant Howard, who more than 15 years ago, the Brotherhood Christian Motorcycle Club and Anglicare started Homeless Persons Week in Parramatta. And he was telling me a bit about what it means to have an event like that on.
I think that part of a community is to care for everybody and to look after its citizens. And also as a Christian, I think, you know, the Bible makes it pretty clear that we need to be loving our neighbour and looking after those that, you know, need a helping hand. And so we're just really committed to building that sense of belonging and of caring and just reaching out for people so that they know that people actually do care and love them.
Day to day, how do you think people can help tackle homelessness? You know, if they're working in the city and see people begging on the street, you know, how day-to-day can we best address homelessness, do you reckon?
I think that engaging people, so like offering to buy someone a meal, I probably wouldn't suggest giving money. But I think if someone's actually homeless, to, you know, take them to Subway or, you know, wherever and buy them something to eat. But also just to get to know what services around for that person, then more than likely they're aware of them. But often just having that connection and even just saying hello to people. And it needs to be done in a really low-key way, because most of these guys aren't necessarily used to people, you know, talking to them or engaging with them. And so, you know, if you walk past them for quite a while, my wife has built a really good relationship with one of the guys that sells the Big Issue. And just from walking past and buying the Big Issue and chatting with him, she knows about his family and a whole heap about that, and he knows quite a lot about our family, and they've just developed a really good relationship. And I think that relationship is really, you know, what helps people to connect and feel like that there's at least somebody that actually, or some people that actually care about what's going on in their life.
Great stuff.
Owl in the City has hit the western suburbs today with its little blue owl cards and their prized code words on the back that mean you can win your way to Owl City in concert and even meet and greet him personally if you're the first to call through with the goods. So the phones have been running hot this morning. Oh. Amanda, you're the first one through, though, from Claremont Meadows. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thank you. Oh. Have you been having a look around the neighbourhood this morning?
My goodness, the drama of it all.
Oh, no, what happened?
Well, I was at home drying my head, listening to you intently for the clues. And when you said it was at St. Mary's and Ripples and all that, I knew exactly where to go. So I flew in the car, went down there, and my husband was already there because he'd left for work a few minutes earlier. He's looking everywhere. We're looking. Can't find. He says, what exactly am I looking for? I said, the card with the blue owl on it. And he says, I haven't seen anything. I said, well, keep looking. It's got to be here somewhere. He says, I've been inside. The girl doesn't know what I'm talking about. She's looking at me strangely. And I said, oh, okay. Well, let me go inside, have a little look around. No, nothing. And she says, what are you looking for? And I said, card with a blue owl on it. She says, oh, okay. Anyway, still looking. She says, let me go and get the pool supervisor. And I said, okay. Oh. And he comes out and he says, what are you looking for? And I said, oh, I'm looking for a card with a blue owl on it. He goes, this one? I go, yes! And I said, does it have a code word on the back? And he goes, yeah. What's it worth to you? I went, oh, my undying thing. He says, yeah, here you go. And I go, oh, great. And I picked up this limp, wet, half-wrecked card. But that's not the worst of it. I left my phone at home. My husband is still there. He was running late for work by this stage. I said, give me your phone. I got to ring. So I rang and I said, you've got to call me back on my home, on my mobile number, which is at home. I'll be there in a couple of minutes. So flew home. And I said to the kids, grab my phone. It's upstairs on the bedside table. So they ran and got it and rang just in time. And I made it.
It's all, and so now you're taking the pool supervisor to the concert, are you?
Well, no, my eldest daughter, because she's dying to go.
Well, that's an epic story, but it could all come undone if you don't have that code word, though. What did the pool man give you?
Hang on. Got to get the card. It's Billboard 100 SM.
Yes! That was worth it.
Okay, now I've got to go upstairs, finish drying my hair, because I'm looking a bit wrecked at the moment.
You absolutely deserve those tickets.
Oh, thank you.
Congratulations. You are the Western Suburbs Owl in the City winner. It means you're straight in with a double pass to see Owl City live in concert, and now you're also in the draw to be able to go to a meet and greet with Adam Young personally before the gig.
Fantastic. I think you're going to have a very excited 12-year-old on your hands as well.
Look, that's completely fine, but wow, Amanda, you so deserve it. After all that effort, you deserve those tickets. There are three more opportunities to win Owl City tickets. Listen out tomorrow morning in breakfast for your clues and your chance to win.
We'll be bombarding a different part of town then. Oh. Last night, Australia stopped in its tracks to watch admittedly what was one of the most painfully drawn out, but also one of the most anticipated TV moments of the year, the MasterChef Grand Final. Michael and Kate faced off. It was so close. In the end, Kate Brax did come out on top. She's on the show tomorrow with us. But today, huge congratulations also have to go to the guy who walked away, not just with a nation of new fans, but also a scholarship in Gary's restaurant, Michael Weldon. How on earth did you wait all those months keeping the secret of who'd won?
Not quite a couple of months, but it's been a long process, but very, very enjoyable.
All right, now I must wonder, I've so many episodes, I particularly remember the guy, the three hat chef that was in the restaurant just watching you, just peering at you. You must have felt that heat on your eyes. What was it like to watch episodes like that back?
It was very interesting. I didn't realise how intently and how sort of worrying his looks were. I knew I was lacking control in the whole cooking situation, but I didn't realise how much it was freaking Peter Doyle out. So I found that very interesting.
What did you think seeing it back with the show being broken up with an extra show in the middle? Did it outrage you as much as everyone else?
It made it very hard to watch, I thought. It sort of split it up a bit. And by the time the second section started, I was sort of like kind of ready for bed.
Yeah.
it was interesting way of watching it. I didn't enjoy it as much as I would have. I guess it was straight through in one go.
Yes. What about when they spring on? I'm always amazed at MasterChef and really impressed when you lift the lid of that box or they give you that concept and you run back to the benches and start madly preparing your best ever dish. I mean, my goodness, how do you prepare for that? Is there something we don't see before that point, or do you really just make it up off the top of your head?
Well, what you see, you know, time-wise in the pantry is what you get. What you see cooking-wise is what you get. I guess it's just, we read so many cookbooks and work on all these different ideas and sort of and spent the last 6 months really studying food. And I guess it's just a culmination of ideas we've picked up in cookbooks and read about things and little tricks and tips we've picked up and that we hope will work.
Wow.
Well, it didn't quite last night for me.
Oh, you did such a great job.
Yeah, yeah.
Top two.
No, I'm very happy. I'm very happy. I just, little things.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's always these tiny little elements like, oh, this little bit of dust here is just on the wrong side of the... It came down to such fiddly annoying bits, though.
That's the problem, isn't it? When you get to the last two, you really have to hit everything perfectly. Otherwise, you know, one little slip-up will cost you. But, I mean, I'm sort of walking out of this thinking that I didn't do that bad. I'm almost a winner. Not as much of a winner as Kate, but still a winner, making it as far as I did.
Yeah, absolutely you are. You did a tremendous job. Well, what do you think about this apprenticeship potential coming up at Gary's restaurant?
It's a brilliant opportunity. I haven't really had a chance to sort of think about it too much, but I mean, it's something you can't really turn down, spending a couple of months hanging out with Gary Megan, picking his brain and just sort of learning more and more about food. It's what I want to do, so it's perfect for me. I just have to try and find some time to fit it in between sleeping for a year.
Yeah.
Recovering.
Look, we must ask something about that finale last night. That snowman, carrot sorbet, seriously.
What does that taste like?
It was brilliant.
Really?
It was so good. I didn't expect it to taste that good. It had a lot of passion fruit in it and stuff as well, which sort of made it really zingy and fresh. And then the sweetness was all in cooking the carrots down really long and really slow. And it was incredible. He's a genius, Rene Redzepi. He's really smart.
I still just saw that sorbet and I just felt a little ill. I must admit.
It was an interesting colour, wasn't it? It was very bright and vibrant.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, you did a champion job. This is, I mean, that's the other thing as well. This is the number one restaurant in the world. This guy's put up a recipe that's not easy. And you've got the pressure of the finale, the time limit, the whole thing to plate it up. I mean, that's a pretty impressive feat.
I was so happy. You know, that's another thing. I think I did my best and gave it a real red-hot go. And, you know, it wasn't quite good enough to win, but I walked out of that kitchen so happy with my efforts and sort of feeling so good about cooking that, you know, I can't be too let down about not, you know, winning the first prize.
Oh, you should feel absolutely proud of yourself. A lot of people seem to come out of MasterChef and say, I'd like to do food TV or food writing. Do you reckon you could hack it in a serious kitchen?
I hope so. I guess that's what this 3 months with Gary is going to make me find out. But I guess, you know, I'd love to in 10 or 15 years' time be the guy setting a challenge like the one Renee did for us. I mean, I'm not by any means saying they're going to have the best restaurant in the world, but, I'd, you know, it'd be cool to come back in 10 or 15 years' time and MasterChef Series 18 and set a challenge after I've had my restaurant running for a few years. And that'd be really cool. I think for a while I wanted to do food writing, and I've got a little column starting in a food magazine in Adelaide, but I think now I've decided I'd much rather people write about my food. I think it's even cooler, so the cooking thing excites me.
Good on you. Look, the whole thing, the thing that became evident over the entire series with you is that you're a genuine, really, just a nice guy. And, you know, you can't go wrong with that. I don't think you can tick too many people off, and I think you'll go really far with that attitude. So it just was great to watch your meals just become amazing. Truly amazing, and all the best.
Cheers.
That's Michael, the runner-up on MasterChef last night, and just a really genuine, nice guy who will go far, I think.
Yes, not a lot in common with Gordon Ramsay. We'll talk to Kate, the winner, tomorrow.
That's a valid point.
Breakfast with Aaron and Helen, 5 to 9 weekdays on Hope 103.2.